assim. Aleluia, aleluia. Not only gotta change the word on that song. Not only should you see increase, you ought to have increase.
Have it
to the fullness. Give Vicky Yoy another hand clap, and a sister too.
Bless her. Wonderful.
Hallelujah. I am excited about this great convention. I love the title of The Good Fight of Faith. A lot of people, they try to fight faith. That's why they don't have no faith. They said fight the good fight of faith. I never thought in my life that people would write books against faith. Never thought I would see that. And that's just amazing to me. When faith is what gets you everything you have. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. I'm excited. Hallelujah. I brought a bunch of books and videos. I've heard them all. They're very good. You can go to the table and see it. Thank you, Chris. But my newest book, it's becoming a New York Times bestseller. And every Barnes and Noble and Borders, we've had book signings. We've sold out some within 20 minutes. And we signed with a very high publisher, Simon & Schuster in New York. And it's flowing. God is good. So, ain't no use to see it anymore. We have increased now. It's just that. I'm enjoying myself. I love Brother and Sister Winston. I've been coming here for quite a few years. And one day I'm going to be as tall as Bill. I think of the two preachers that preach for Brother Colton, me and you are about the shortest, you know. But we got more money than all of them, bless God. Hallelujah. So Brother Copeland been telling stories about me, huh? Now, I can tell you some stories about Kenneth Copeland, but I will not. Praise the Lord. It's such an honor to be here, and we thank all you that are watching by internet and all over. And God has been so good and gracious to us. And as Sister Yoy was saying, we've just come through another major hurricane. I live in New Orleans. She lives in Baton Rouge. And I said, Jesus, we need some help. We got electricity Friday. Boy, I said, Kathy, let's go home. She said, there ain't no electricity. I said, we sweated when we was young. Let's sweat now. That don't make no difference, girl. I said, and ain't nobody can say who stinks because the whole city stinks. So we flew back. I mean, just got in there and had a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. I mean, I had more fun than you could shake a stick at. Boy, I mean, I didn't put a suit on. I had a T-shirt and blue jeans. Hallelujah, man. I didn't. Everybody just sweat. You should have seen Kathy. Just sweating. I said, sweat, mama. Come on. She said, you get joy out of anything. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She started cleaning the house. I took a video of that. Our housekeeper couldn't make it, so Kathy had to clean it. Glory to God! We had a wonderful time. But anyway, the Lord was so good and gracious that we didn't have any damage whatsoever. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. What a blessing. Truly a blessing of the Lord. And I tell you, people say, why do you live in New Orleans? Because the Lord told me to. I was born and raised there. I've had people say, have you lived in New Orleans all your life? Not yet. Not yet. But God's been so good and gracious to us, and we just thank the Lord, and we thank all you wonderful people. And I want to minister tonight. You know, I've preached with me, and in fact, I would probably say me and Bill do a lot of the same conventions all over America, everywhere. I mean, either he's flying out and I'm flying in, or vice versa, and things of that nature. And it's just truly a blessing. So if you don't mind tonight, I'm going to just preach out of my spirit. Can I do that? Hallelujah. I may be short in stature, but I got a big spirit. And it's a blessing of the Lord. But right before I get into that, I brought a friend of mine with me tonight. He's been in my ministry, coming to our church, I guess now 10 years. And the Lord spoke to him not too long ago to go into ministry. And his name is Evangelist Ron Fortune. I said, well, just come with me tonight. And I would tell some of you ministers, if you want a good person to bless your church, you ought to have him. Ron, stand up. This is my good friend, Evangelist Ron Fortune. Give him a hand clap. Thank you, Ron. Hallelujah. Thank you. He just started out. He's starting out in the ministry, and he's preached at our facility many, many times, and Covenant Church really loves him. In fact, he probably preached more at Covenant Church than I do. Kathy gets mad at me. She said, you preach for everybody. You don't preach for us. I said, you don't pay good. No, just joking. I give a hard time. No, I'm just joking. I don't take any money on it. No, I don't. That's one thing I don't struggle with is money. You can struggle with money. I don't struggle with money. And I'm going to tell you why tonight. Now, I want to say this, and without trying to just drop names, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Myers, Rod Parsley, Kenneth Copeland, I preach at all of them. In over 30 years of full-time ministry, I've never had a financial deficit. Never. Now, that's a miracle of God. Never, not one time. Not because I have more faith than people, because I don't believe that, or that God loves me more than he does, because then if he did, he'd be a respecter of person. And he can't do that. But I'm going to answer that question in this spiritual talk tonight. Now, I'm going to do a little preaching, which is proclaiming. And I'm going to do a little teaching, which is explaining. Now, I'll have to get them all mixed up, but you'll understand it when I finish. So I just want to start. So what's the title of this sermon? I don't know. I'll let you know when the Lord tells me what it is. So I'm going to just preach this out of my spirit. Can I do that?
Yes, sir.
Let's just see how much we got in there.
Yeah.
Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's start there. We're going to start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to take notes and I want you to listen because I know what I'm talking about. I don't mean that sound prideful or arrogant. I know what I am talking about. I know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. I've learned to cross over the secular world to the Christian world, how to operate in business, in the secular world, as well as the business of God. And I use a lot of Christian terms when I do business, where sometimes people don't understand when you're doing business. But I've learned that if we'll listen to what God says, God will honor everything that he said and will bring it to pass in a quick and timely manner. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe verse 6, let's just start there. That's very familiar scripture. It says, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Yes,
now, what part of that you don't understand? Should I say it again? Because you see, in that verse, there's no faith at all. There's not one ounce of faith in that verse. That verse is all action and reaction. Just simple. He who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. No faith in it, just a simple action and a reaction. Now, we have to define what sparingly is, because most people think sparingly is giving a small offering or receiving a small offering. But yet the greatest offering ever given to God's kingdom in Jesus' day was the widow's mite. And we're still talking about that offering. And in God's mind, it was not a sparing offering, but a bountiful offering because she gave all she had. Yet it was the smallest offering numerically that was in that temple bucket that day. But she gave it from her heart. So you have to define what is sparingly and what is bountifully. It is not done by how much, but how much comes from your heart. I've had some people, and ladies and gentlemen, without sounding prideful, we believe in God for 1 million partners in our ministry. Bill, as of today, we got 432,886 partners to Justin and Planet's Ministries. Speaking of most of the TV networks, I don't mean that pridefully. But now I'm a working machine. I'm constantly moving. Running all the time. And I'm going to get to a million partners. That's not the issue. People say, why? Because you need it. God's always telling you to do something expensive. He never does anything cheap. Never in my entire life I ever bought anything that was cheap. In fact, not too long ago, I said, does anything cost $100? Let's go buy it. Just $100, God's sake, because everything's a million. The other day, I ordered a generator. One generator, $256,000 to run my ministry. These 500 kW, whatever that means. To me, that's money. A generator, just one generator. It's anything. One camera, $430,000 with the new lens on it. Got six of them. NFL want to use my cameras. Ask me if they could use my cameras to shoot the Super Bowl. I said, I ain't let no football player bust my cameras up. You crazy? Go buy them yourself. So he says he was so sparingly, should reap also sparingly. He was so bountifully, should reap also bountifully. Now the next verse. Every man or every person according as he purposed in his heart. Notice that's done before you get to church. That's not done at church. That's done before you get to church. So you got to be doing something before you get here. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, not in his head. You don't need a heart bypass. You need a head bypass. It says, so let him give. Now, let me do a little preaching first. I get funny after a while. I promise I'll be so funny in a few minutes you'll fall out the chair. But let me just say something first. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Now, watch this. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Now, did you hear that? Wonder why people give the need when you're not supposed to? God didn't tell you to give the need. He said, every man according as he purposed, put it up there so people can see it. Every man according as he purposed, so let him give, not grudging, nor of necessity. Yet most people give to a need. You don't never give to a need. You give to the purpose of what that need will do once it's met. Because if you're just giving the need, it's always need. But if you understand the purpose of what is being asked of you, then that touches the heart of God. See, that purpose, if you want to write something down, or you can write this down. Purpose affords you anchorage in the time of battle. Purpose gives you foundation under your feet. If you're a person of purpose, you have a foundation. Now, notice that's done before you get to church. See, so if you've been praying before you get here to this living word church, and you say, oh, God, I want to do something for your kingdom, and Pastor Bill gets up and he presents a project or a need of the ministry, you go, oh, God, that's why that was so strong on me. See, because you've already purposed in your heart. Now, from purpose, because it's a foundational thing, comes prayer. Purpose will make you pray. Purpose will produce a language that God understands and you understand. From purpose and prayer comes perception. You begin to perceive things that you never perceived before because now you've purposed in your heart. You have prayed in your heart. Now you're perceiving in your heart. You know what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it. So you can say, every man according as he purposed, prayed, and perceived. And once you purpose, prayed, and perceived, then the next thing that comes is power. And yet that's the most popular of the four. Yet it's the most dangerous of the four. Because you must be superior to power instead of driven by power. That's why preachers mess up, why politicians mess up. They're driven by power instead of being superior to it. Prime example, and we're not being rude, just the whole world knows about it. This John Edwards guy that messed up with this woman, his wife got cancer. What did he say when he was interviewed? Well, I was running for president. I thought I could just do anything I want to do. That came from his own lips. I'm not being critical, just being truthful. Now, why did he do that? You think just for sex? No. Because he was not superior to that power, and he was driven by it. So you could say it like this. Every man according as he purposed, prayed, perceived, and powered. So let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Has nothing to do with the need. Has to do with the purpose of what the need is. Are you getting this? I'm being a little homiletical for you Baptist. That'll help you. I am Dr. Jesse Duplantis. I can speak intelligently. I just prefer to speak Cajun. So every man according as he purpose, prayed, perceived, and power. Now you got to understand what power is. One time Jesus was preaching a meeting and they came to hurt him. And he says, don't you know I can call more than 12 legions of angels to handle this situation? Now, let me give you an idea of what kind of power that is. One angel in the Bible knocked down 185,000 men. One. If 12 legions of angels would have come, 20,400,000,000 men would have bit the dust in one lick, and yet the world was not has not known that kind of population. But because Jesus was superior to that power, instead of driven by that power, he went to the cross so you didn't have to go. You got it? So every man, according as he purposed, prayed, perceived, and powered, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Why? You can never have a grudging gift if you purpose before the offering is given. So let me say it again. If you purpose in your heart to be a blessing to this convention, so when they present a need or a project or whatever, you go, oh, Jesus, that's why that was so strong on me. And then you touch God. He said, for God loveth. And he said, like it. He said, he loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. What do you mean a cheerful giver? A voluntary giver. They call it hilarious in the Amplified, but a volunteer. And there's nothing like the heart of a volunteer. There was no greater heart than a volunteer. Do you think these lights come on by themselves? Do you think that this carpet vacuums itself? All those parking attendants out there, all those different people that's got to come and make all this work? And God said, I loveth a voluntary giver. So give all the volunteers a hand clap because they're doing a great job at this convention. Do you see that? Now, that's a great gift to God. They would rather be in here sitting, but they're out there, you know, rolling, doing everything they can to keep everything in decency and order. So you could say, every man according as he purposed, prayed, perceived, empowered, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth, oh, Lord, didn't like he said, he loveth a cheerful giver. Or a voluntary giver. Hilarious. Because how can you be happy giving your money away? That doesn't make sense. But if you're a person of purpose, which affords you anchorage in a time of battle, if you're a person of prayer, that you can talk and God can talk, if you're a person of perception, you're perceiving and God perceiving, and together both of you are powering. Oh, Lord Jesus. Then God can work with you and help you. Now the next verse. And God is able. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, a white preacher would say it like this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you always have an all sufficiency. And all things may abound to ever good work. Can I get a witness? As a white preacher. A black preacher, he gonna hoop it. And the Lord... I said, the Lord, oh, Lord God, and God, oh, Lord, hey, and the Lord is able, or like Bill Winston. See, Bill just kind of creep up on you, and God is able, I said, the Lord, oh, you ain't hearing me, believe I'll go over here, why? And God, and God, 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 wham, and they just go. Look at the white people. And God is able to make all grace. How much all? Abound toward who? You. That you. What? You, not God, you. Always. What time is your watch set to? Always. Having all, not some, all sufficiency in all things. Why are you worried about things? Why are you so concerned somebody may talk about your things? What do you think God gave you faith for? What is the definition of faith? Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of what?
Faith.
What?
Faith.
What?
Faith.
What?
Faith.
The evidence of what?
Faith.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. God ain't got no problem with your things. Why do you have a problem with it? The church world does, the secular world does, but who cares? Because God is able. Now, not long ago, I hardly ever drive. I fly ever. I am the biggest jet fuel buyer on the general aviation side in the city of New Orleans. Last year, I bought 400,000 gallons. I think about 400,000. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe my pilots are here, but we buy a lot of fuel. I'm flying that plane. Last night I was in Anniston, Alabama. Tonight I'm in Chicago. Tomorrow night I'm in Madisonville, Kentucky. Thursday night I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. Friday I'm in New Orleans. And then I go to Colorado. That plane fly. I mean, Delta, they just get out their way when they see me coming. They said, that's Jesse. Get out of the way. He's going somewhere. Bill said, Jesse, in and he out. Boom. I said, that's how I am. Watch this. So Kathy, while I was gone, I was going to buy me a little pickup truck.
I just want a little pickup truck. She said, yeah, I don't want you riding no little pickup truck. How come I can't have what I want? So she bought me one of these Mercedes-Benz SUVs. She said, you want a truck? I'll get you a nice truck. Of course, it's got a gas tank that's a bottomless pit. It's got a big tank. I don't care. Don't make a mess to me. So I said, I got to go fill this thing up. So I drive it to the station. And I got to fill it up because you can't find hardly anybody anymore that pump gas. I mean, I hadn't seen nobody in years. So I just got out of the thing. And this man comes driving around this Ford Expedition. He said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He looked at me and said, well, what do you think about this recession going on? I said, we're not participating. He said, don't put this thing. Now, you can't if you want. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. So if I'm not of it, why should I participate in it? He said, now, this is right before the gas, that's when gas was, oil was $147 a barrel. It was like $4.12 a gallon where I was buying this fuel. He said, my God, man, he said, that don't bother you? It's $4.12. I said, you need some gas? He said, what? I said, you need some gas? He said, that's what I'm coming here for. I said, let me fill this thing up, and then when I finish drive your Expedition, I'll fill yours up. He said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you see me blinking? I ain't blinking. To drive your Expedition around it. Now, can you imagine what the devil's thinking about me? Good Lord, good. He ain't even disturbed about $4.12 a gallon of gas. He's buying people gas he don't even know. So I filled up his Expedition. He went, thank you, mister. You know I got another tank. I said, well, hit the switch. So he hit the switch and I filled that other tank up. I could care less. Why? Because God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I, having all sufficiency and all things, may abound to every good work. Preachers, did you hear that? So then if you understand that verse, you won't have to worry about your tithe. I lost a few of you right there. I see that. You're going, ha, ha, ha. Don't touch my tithe. I don't want your tithe. That's not the issue. But he said you can abound to every good work. To every good work. Now, I believe you ought to tithe to your church. Now, some people don't, but I believe you do. Because you don't eat at Wendy's and pay at McDonald's. I had a guy not long ago come to me. He says, listen, just gave me $100,000. Check. He said, here. He said, tithe. I said, tithe. I said, do you have a local church? He said, oh, yeah. I said, this is not my money. It's yours. I'll give that to your pastor. Now, if he don't belong to a local church, I'll receive his tithe. But he should belong to a local church. Because that's out of order if you don't belong to a local church. See, because the Bible said the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. I said, that's not mine. You want to give me $100,000? Oh, yeah, the Lord told me to. I said, not this one. And when the pastor found out about that, he called me up, cried. I didn't have to thank you, Jesse. I said, it's not mine. I'm a man of integrity when it comes to money. I won't touch that. That's God's business. I want him to be a blessing. Well, it wasn't 3 weeks later, him and the pastor walked in my house, into my office, and with a check for $100,000. He said, my God, I made an extra $100. I said, I knew it was coming. He said, it's not tithe. And the pastor says, yeah, give glory to God, Lord Jesus. Now, how can that happen? God is able. Yeah, but there's a recession on. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, may abound to every good work. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. He which ministers seed to the sower, ministers bread for your food. Multiply your seed, sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in all bounties. You see, I can quote that chapter because if nothing is in you, it can't come out of you. Because God is able. Now, if you think gas is high, I was telling Pastor Bill a while ago, we was in New York and jet fuel was $8.10 a gallon. Now, my plane holds 2,000 gallons of fuel. So that's a little over $16,000 to fill that plane up. Boy, they see me coming. I just fill it up. I don't care. Are you bragging? Yeah, you ain't figured that out yet? Yeah, I'm bragging. Not on me, on this God that is able. That is able. He told me to go preach the gospel. What do you want me to do? well, why don't you fly a commercial? I told Delta if they could fly my schedule, they wouldn't have to claim bankruptcy half the time. I went to them with my schedule. Can you fly this? No. So I had to get a plane. That's just simply the truth. See, because God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you always... Bill, how long have you been knowing me? Quite a few years. You ever saw me sick, depressed, discouraged, busted, broke? I've had many opportunities to fail, but failure is not an option in God's book or my book. It's not an option. You can do what you want to do with that. It is not an option. This is what the Lord said. Well, I know he said that, but, and that's your problem. You need to get your butt out of the way. Why are you putting a conjunction to something that doesn't need a conjunction? Well, I'm trying. You didn't try to come to this meeting. You tried to park your car. You didn't try to get married. Look at her. You are. Don't try nothing. You do something. You don't try anything. You simply, you didn't try to sing tonight, Vicky. You just got that. That was good stuff. I liked it. She didn't try. She just did it. Yeah. Pretty simple, wasn't it? Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, for you people that don't read the Bible, page 1. That will help you. You meet some of y'all looking at what the Genesis is here. What is that? You think that's Star Trek or something? No, the Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord God moved. So, because I don't care how much God moves, nothing happens till somebody says something. How many movements you've seen of revival, and 2 weeks later after the revival, those people were in the same ditch and the same hole. Yeah, God moved, but nobody said nothing. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the waters, and God said, and he did not say, let there be light. He had to take the there out, because if he'd have left the there in there, it's possibly it wouldn't come on. He said, light be. Light be. And God saw the light and said, whew, it's very good. Now watch this. You don't think God got a sense of humor? God is light. God releases himself into nothing, and out of nothing comes everything you see. Wait, now when he releases himself, he sees himself and goes, this is good. This is good. Did you see that? God said, hey, I just saw myself. Woo, this is very good. That's what God thinks about himself. Now, Moses picked up the same habit. If you are a homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological student of theology, you will realize that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is the Pentateuch, which was wrote by the great prophet Moses, right? Moses wrote it. Am I correct, Pastor? You know what Moses wrote about himself? He said, since I'm writing this, he puts this in there. And Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Since I'm right, I'm just going to say something nice about myself. He wrote that about himself. He got that from God. God saw light, saw himself, said, did very good. Moses said, I'm the meekest man in all the earth. Jesus did exactly the same thing. When you saw Jesus, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light, I'm the good shepherd. Lord, Lord, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I said the beginning. And he always spoke well of himself to himself and to others. Have you ever known something about me, Bill? I always speak well of myself to myself and to others. I look at myself in the mirror every day and go, Jesse, 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 Jesse. Oh, boy. You got it, boy. You got it. I learned that from Jesus, Moses, and God. That's not arrogance. That's not cockiness. That's Bible. Woo! lips. Sometimes I go home and I listen to myself preach. I just put them in. Hey! I said, I'm going to be a partner to you right now, brother. I'm going to bless you. Hey! That's not arrogance. That's not egotistical. That's Bible. God saw himself, said, this is good. Moses said, I'm the meekest man in all the earth. Jesus said, I'm the son of God and the son of man. And Jesse said, you the man. Now, God saw the light, that it was very good. Now let's get into some revelation. God says, I'm in the mood to create. So he starts creating. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 verses of creating. Stuff everywhere. Stuff everywhere. Gold on top the ground. Go read it. Gold. He put it on top the ground. Adam and Eve didn't have to dig it out because he knew Eve liked jewelry. He knew that women gonna figure out what to do with the yellow stuff. It's all this stuff everywhere and nobody to spend it. Nobody. No spenders. The gorilla's over there with his banana. He said, I'm satisfied. My Chiquita banana is good enough for me. Y'all do what y'all want to do. Because he's there. No spenders. All this stuff. And in verse 26, he creates two spenders. God says, let us make man. Angels go, hey, what's a man? Man? Never heard that terminology before. Man, what is that? Wait a minute. Gabriel. God's going to create a new species of life that we've never seen before because they've seen all these other species of life, like certain types of angels, seraphims, cherubims, archangels, regular angels, the wheel within the wheel, that creature with all those eyes, that everywhere he looks, the one with all the wings that stands around the throne of God, all these forms of life, they've seen all of that, but they never heard of a species of life called man. He said, let us make man. They go, wonder what he's going to look like. Let's make him in our image. Whoa! You see, angels don't look like God. Angels have the glory of God. You look like God. Every one of you looks like God. You are made in his image. That's why the devil knows where you are. You're an exact snapshot of God. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You want to know what God looks like? Look! Made in his image. Now, that's a fantastic thing. But then God goes even further. He said, now give him dominion. And the angels say, over what? Over all the works of my hand. Are angels the works of God's hands? Now, can you understand why God said angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for you or to you? That you are the only species of life that can sit down in the very presence of the Most High God. Angels got to stand at attention. The wheel within the wheel, that creature with the wings and the eyes, all these angels, but he made you sit in heavenly places with him. Why? Because you are not a servant. You are a son and a daughter. You are la familia. He made you an offer you couldn't refuse. He made you family. Yes, sir. Family. I asked the Lord, why did you create us? He said, I wanted a future. I said, a future? What do you mean, God? He said, Jesse, before I created you, before I created mankind, all I had was servants that did all my bidding. I had no seed. I had no family. I wanted a future. You see, ladies and gentlemen, your future and your security, write this down,
Your future and your security is in your seed. Your future and your security is in your seed. That's why he made us look like him. We are his family. That's why Satan hates us. I will not bow down to this man. Yes, you will, whether you like it or not. You get under my feet, because I have dominion or domain over you. Now you can understand Psalms 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man. I notice man and the Son of Man in the same verse. Then he says this, thou hast made him a little lower than the translators. Freak out. We cannot translate this way, because if they do, they're going to crucify us and kill us. So we're going to say this, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Wrong. He said he created you a little lower than God. Senior partner, junior partners. You see, my future is in my seed. If Jesus tarries and I go by the way of the grave, my daughter, if you look at my daughter, you will see me. And now I have to make an announcement. I am now a bona fide grandfather. I finally made it. A little baby girl named Meredith Margot Walker. I call her M&M, you know. Meredith Margot. She got black hair, blue eyes. Look like Elvis. Pretty girl. She came, saw me today. And they brought her in. She's about almost 6 months old. She went. Say, what did you give her? A social security number. She'll never have to work a day in her life. The day she was born, El Shaddad. And I'm going to teach her a principle. So if Jesus tarries, I will always be here, Vicky. Through my daughter, through my granddaughter, that's my future. God will always be here because of you. That's why he sold Christ, so he could get Christians. Family. He creates spenders. And all he asked them to do was to keep it and dress it. Now, ready for revelation? Why haven't I had a financial deficit? I'll tell you why. Because I don't use the economic stimulus package of the curse. I live on the economic stimulus package before the fall. Brother Copeland calls it the Eden blessing. You see, God gave us a blessing. He said, be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish, always fill and refill. Subdue, always control your environment, or your environment will control you. That is the blessing. You see, ladies and gentlemen, don't get mad at me when I say this, and don't judge me when I say it. Let me say it all. I'm not too much on miracles, young man. I like them, but I prefer you to have them. Because if you need a miracle, chances are you in trouble. Oh, Lord, you better help us today. Jesus, we ain't gonna better pay the note on the house. Oh, Lord. See, miracles, God works for you, but blessings, God works with you. You become senior partner, junior partner. See, the blessing. You see, when you live in the blessing, you can create miracles for others. Because I'm living in the blessing, I was able to create a miracle for a man with a Ford Expedition with two tanks. That's right. God did not give Adam a miracle. If you're looking for miracles every day, you're living like the Israelites. Oh, God, you better help us, because tomorrow, oh, God. But when you live in the blessing, you create miracles for anybody you choose. Because that blessing is what? Be fruitful, always produce. Multiply, always increase.
Yes, sir.
Replenish, always fill and refill. And then he says, subdue, control your environment, or your environment will control you. I don't live on the economic stimulus package of the curse. What is that? Working by the sweat of your brow. Did God make you the righteousness of God?
Yes, sir.
So there's no way you can earn it, right?
That's right.
Why are you trying to earn your money? That's what's messing up the whole dadgum system here. Are you telling me not to work? No, you're going to work more on the economic stimulus package before the fall. Your work is to keep the blessing.
Come on.
And dress it.
Yes, sir.
But you see, you're trying to make ends meet. You're looking for a job for your wife. You're trying to find a job for your dog, and Taco Bell hiring chihuahuas, so you might want to go down there. I mean, you're looking to try to get all these ends. That's why it's not working, because it's cursed. I don't live on the curse package. I don't make a living, I make a giving.
Yes, sir.
I'm always producing. How can I do that? Sowing and reaping. I'm always increasing. Why? I'm always multiplying. I'm always filling and refilling. I'm spending it and then filling it up. Spending it and filling it up. And then I'm always subduing. I'm always controlling my environment instead of my environment controlling me. Drives me crazy when preachers get on television in the summertime. Y'all know it's summertime and the living ain't easy. The fish are jumping and we ain't caught one. You don't help us today, you know, because people go on vacation and we're not going to make it. Shut up. You see, you're living on a curse. That's why I've never had a financial deficit. Not because I got more faith in you. I live on that economic stimulus package before the fall to produce, be fruitful, okay? Multiply, replenish, subdue. That's a strange word in a perfect society. Subdue. That should not, Sister Winston, that shouldn't have been given to the men. What was, and that woman, what was God saying? Adam, Eve, snake coming. Put him down. Subdue him. You have dominion. Now, the only job they were supposed to do is to keep it and dress it, which means it wasn't complete, Vicky. It wasn't perfect till mankind put his hand on it. Huh. You're not supposed to be working for a living. The Bible said, let him that stole steal no more, but let him that give, let him work with his hands that he may give to him who is good before the Lord. You're working for a giving. So when you go on your job, you're not making that living because it's not enough. That's why you're borrowing money. See, if you got enough, you never borrow money. I don't know my credit rating or my credit number. I could care less. I buy my houses cash, my jets cash, my cars cash. It's called cash. And cash is king.
Come on.
Do you see my point? It don't make no difference. The bank works for me. I lend money to the bank.
Come on.
Oh, and they want to tell me Bernanke's federal interest rate, your mama. This is my money. You want my money, you pay my rate. Some of y'all don't believe that. Well, then, hey, I keep my money. See, that's the economic stimulus package before the fall. You see that? So I don't live on that curse swept by your brow, beat your stinking brains out trying to get things to work. Because it doesn't work. And it will never work. It's a Babylonian system. Brother Colton probably preached on that a little bit. It's that Babylonians, I will not function. And you can't function. That's limits. That's limitations. Now, I taught my daughter this, what I'm teaching you, and my son-in-law, and they were out of debt, I think in their late 20s. Not because of their dad, not because I was Jody's father. I taught them how to keep the blessing. Oh, and to dress it. That's why everybody hates the Jews. That's why Hitler wanted to kill every Jew he could. You know what the Jews have done? They've kept the money within the Jewish community. They've kept the blessing and they've dressed it. That's why Hitler said, if we can kill them all, we'll take their money. Do you see that? They became business people in a secular world with a godly principle. Do you see? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because this financial pressure stuff is over with, if you understand what I'm talking about. Because you can't make enough money. Because things are always going up. But if you higher than up, you are looking down at their up. Fear will never let you look any higher than bottom. That's as high as you can look in fear is bottom. But if you're up is higher than their up, you're looking down on their up.
Darnell be cursing you and getting mad at you, and you just smile.
Because you're out of reach. Recession doesn't affect you. Depression doesn't affect you. Sickness doesn't affect you. You're living under this package, this economic stimulus package. I've done it for over 30 years. I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. God been good to Jesse, but Jesse been good to God. Amen. See, we have a partnership. I go broke, he go broke. What? I go broke, he goes broke. He goes broke, I go broke. But we both can't go broke. Why? We own it all. I'm his son. So now as Meredith grows, I'm going to say, listen to your grandfather. And I will teach you to keep this blessing and dress it. And you'll never have to work but the sweat of your brow. Now you're going to work harder keeping the blessing. Because you see, that's why women love the shop. You were created to spend. Shout, ladies, I just set you free. Look at Bill. Oh, Jesus. Shouldn't have said that. Some of y'all made the sign of the cross. My God, help me. That's why you love the shop. That's a God. I'm going to shock you. It's a godly thing. He created all this stuff, and then he created some spenders. He said, just spend it. Look at the men. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's why you enjoy it. Because there's no limits. There is no limits to your window shopping, maybe to your window buying. But see, if you get to the point of what I'm saying here tonight, your window buying will have no limits. Just nothing. It just don't make no difference. Because you're working on the economic stimulus package before the fall. Oh, most of you have done it anyway. I'll prove it to you. How many of you have had a baby? Hold your hand up if you've had children. Hold your hand up a little higher. Now, I don't doubt the closer you get to this side, there's got to be some Winston blood around here, right? Where the Winston blood? Hold Winston up. Well, now, why are y'all sitting close to Bill? Excuse me, I'm going to explain this point. Why are you not sitting close to Bill? Because you're not family. Now, let's make this an analogy. Why are we close to God? Why are you close to Bill? Because you're family. Not that he doesn't love you. That's not the issue. But there's just something extra right here. It's called family. Look where they put me. And I'm the speaker. Look where they put Vicky. I thought they were going to put her outside there for a minute. Good Lord, Jesus. But if you got Winston blood... I just proved it to you. So if you go to heaven, we gonna all be close to God and all the angels will be out there. Oh God, this is good stuff. Do you see that? Now, let me show you something now. How many of you have had babies? Hold your hand up. Now, you've had babies. How many children you have?
Four.
Four, okay. Your first one was a girl or boy?
Girl.
A little girl. What was her name?
Kristen.
Kristen? Did Kristen ever buy any diapers?
No.
Baby food?
None.
Baby blankets?
Not at all.
Crib?
Nothing.
Bed?
No.
Oh, you provided all the stuff and you created a spender. Is that right?
Yeah.
You sure she didn't buy no formula, no Gerber food? Nothing. Right? Where you learn that from? You learn that from God. You created all this stuff. Now, how old is Kristen now?
20.
20. When she was growing up, did you give her a room to sleep in?
Yes.
All you asked her to do was to keep it clean. Is that right?
That's right.
Is this your daughter? Did you do the same thing to her? Just yeah. Give her a room to sleep in? Just make the bed up. Just clean the thing. Just dress it up. You did exactly what God did to mankind. Oh, you didn't tell them you worked by the sweat of your brow, you little thing. If you're gonna have this bottle of milk, you better show me some sweat on your brow. No. All you required of them was to keep the blessing. You did exactly what El Shaddai did. You taught Kristen the economic stimulus package before the fall. And as they grow, oh, they eat more. They invite friends to come over and eat more. They don't care. And little girls don't eat much in front of boys, but you bring them over to your house. You got a key to an 18-wheeler Domino pizza truck outside the house, throwing pizzas like Frisbees. Ha-la, ha-la, and they just eating them all. And they'll tell you, go in the refrigerator, get what they want, just like in the garden. All you got to do is keep it and dress it.
Yes.
Why did you teach them the curse package? You want what's even greater? Now, listen here, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to now, you got to get some credit. And you get a little credit. Now we need to get you some more credit. There comes the rope. Now you're becoming a servant. You're stepping out of a daughter and a son to a servant. To someone who has no authority over you whatsoever at all. Now it's not a sin to borrow money, because God made Abraham a lender, but we should be the lenders. Why? So we don't never lose our sonship and daughtership, that we always stay sons and daughters instead of servants, because the borrower is servant. Can you understand why the Lord said, owe no man anything but to love him? He wants you to stay in the position that he created you. You can't live like that in a borrowing world. Yes, you can, because somebody's lending it to you. Why does it always have to be someone else? How come it can't be you? Does that make any sense to anybody? Now, all y'all did for your baby and you did for her was just to keep it dressed. That's it. That's just it. They didn't have to beat their brains out for that glass of milk. But then the Babylonian system was introduced. Work by the sweat of your brow, beat your brains out. Then all of a sudden, here comes financial stress that destroys marriages and everything else. And watch this. You were created to spend, and now you feel bad when you spend. So the pleasure that God gave you, now it's a bad thing. You're taking a little greedy thing. Just almost wanting to spend and buy something. All of a sudden, this great blessing that the Lord wanted to do for you. Now, you feel bad. You feel like you're a piece of trash. Oh, for you people watching, but that don't believe in prosperity, that you think me and Bill are a bunch of guys just taking people's money, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when you get to heaven? Because me and Bill gonna be in heaven. What you gonna do when you get to heaven? You can't find a trailer. You know all God knows how to build his mansions? Yeah. What you gonna do? No, Jesus. No, Jesus. What are you gonna do? I'm gonna tell you what you're gonna have to do. Go to hell. Because that's where the trailers are. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. Oh, wait a minute. You want to shout? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. So as it is, where? In heaven. So if you got a mansion in heaven, why can't you have a mansion on the earth? Now, I know I sound arrogant. I know I sound arrogant and egotistical. No, man, I'm tired of the devil spending your money, living in your house, driving your car, wearing your clothes, stealing your money. It's time for you to take ownership over what God has given to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Poverty
has got to shut down. And prosperity has to rule and reign. And you mad at me? How many people you feed? How many people you employ? I employ 302. How many you employ? Every month I pay $750,000 a month just to pay my employees. I ain't counting television. It's in millions. How can you do that? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, I like that word, always. You see, Bill, no matter what happens in life, me and you will always be friends. You may be in Chicago and I'm in New Orleans. We're 1,000 miles apart in terms of space, but we're always friends. See, because a friend stick it closer than a Winston. I just got to get Bill the revelation so I can get my seat over here somewhere. No, you see my point? Brother Copeland, to his credit, wonderful friend of mine, great prophet of God, heard about the hurricane, got a phone call.
Yes, it is, Colonel.
I said, hello, Brother Copeland. How you doing? You need any help? I said, well, Brother Copeland, I've evacuated. I can't get down there. He said, well, everything will be all right. You need me, you know where I am. I said, thank you. You're welcome. Bye. Bye. End of statement. That's good. That's a friend. I had several call me. One person called me and said, hey, why don't you come up here and I'll rent you a 5-bedroom house so you can just stay here for a couple of days and we just talk. And I can afford the house. But I have to watch what I say because I get it. But I'm superior to that power instead of driven by it. I don't like these slick willy preachers. I'm believing God for a suit just like this one. Let the Lord lead you, brother. You talk about a con artist, that's a con. No, I don't like that stuff. But you see, God is able. He's able. Why you happy, Brother Jesse? I can't lose. I had a man gave me a compliment today and I busted out laughing. I couldn't help it. He said, Jesse Duplantis, I've been knowing you for 30 years. You got more faith than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I went, God, get out of here. I said, let me help you. And I think I hurt his feelings. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I said, simple statement. It takes no great faith to believe in something that cannot fail. And you giving me this accolade? It can't fail. It don't take no great faith to believe in something that cannot fail. It's sure proof that it shall be. You see, I don't believe for financial struggles. That's an option for failure. You see, I've learned from people, Vicki, who have had financial trouble, which means this, if I learn, then I don't have to have it. In other words, if you tell me you're driving out of here and you're going to bring me back to the airport, and you said, I got a big old hole over there to make sure you don't drive your car into it. It'd be stupid if I drove the car into it. All I had to do was listen to you. It's called obedience. So I've seen people who've had struggles over the years. And why would you walk in the same pothole that 14,000 million people have fell into? It's kind of like that. Did y'all see the hamburger commercial a few months back? They come running and talk about hot, warm hamburger. They keep falling in the hole. No, we don't do that. What would happen if the hurricane would have destroyed your property? I'd rebuild it.
Oh, but see, I done put the devil on notice. You ain't gonna pay me insurance money. I ain't stupid. I tell him, you touch my stuff. Come here. Come here. He's the prince of the power of air, so he's not down. He's here. Come here. You touch my stuff, you're gonna pay me 7 times, and I'm gonna get your furniture. The subs of your house. You ain't gonna just give me no insurance money. You understand? You touch anything I have, you gonna pay me. I serve a Jewish God. You gonna pay me. You are gonna pay me. You don't touch my stuff, boy. When Katrina was coming, my neighbor, 50 foot from it in my backyard, had his shingles blowed off, fence knocked down. I didn't even have a tree limb. That devil went, whoo, Jesse's place, back up. For God's sake, don't touch that. We're going to have to pay 7 times for that house. I'm serious I can be about that. You ain't paying me no insurance, man. You're living in a dream world. You're going to pay me 7 times. You can get too expensive to be messed with. You can get so strong on the financial side, the devil said, don't touch that money. He'll kill us all with that money. I'll give you, I'll say this and I have to shut up. I went out my hour here, so I'm out. Listen to this. You were more powerful than the devil was when you was a sinner. Every sinner on the earth is more powerful than the devil. How do you know that? You want a prime example? How many of y'all been sinners? Bad sinners. Come on. Don't lie. Now, Vicky was raised Pentecostal, right? So, you know, she's a godly person. I was a heathen from hell. I think when I got saved, Satan cried. He said, we lost a great man today, boy. I ain't kidding. We don't know if he can replace this boy. Let me give you a prime. Before I was born again, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day, every day. I smoked a little dope a week. I snorted cocaine, PCP, crystal meth, you name it. Took trips, never left my house. Oh, gone. You understand? And I'm not bragging about that. Women, I was a rocker. I can play all these instruments. I worked on the same circuit as Led Zeppelin, Grand Funk, Kiss. I worked with Billy Preston. Will it go round in circle? Uh-huh. You should have seen the sisters follow the white boy. You should have seen the sisters. Had that long hair. Then I afroed my hair one time. It was that wide. I had hair, boy. I mean, you know, I dyed it strawberry red. I got movies to prove it. You ain't looking at them, but I got movies to prove it. I made money. I was a sinner. But let me show you how powerful I was. I was actually in total control of my own life. Now, the devil was making me do this, but how many times the devil would tell me, why don't you go out and chase another woman? Why don't you go out and get drunk? Why is it? I'd say, no, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I shut the devil down because I just didn't want to do it. In my sinful state, I told the devil, you're not controlling me. How many times you did it? How many times before you was born again, the devil said, why don't you go out and hit the town, boy? Come on, son. Oh, Lord. You know, get your lean back. What's up, baby? Welcome to hell. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm tired, man. I just going on. And you go home, go to bed, and get a good night's rest. You just told the devil no. You just told the devil, I will not sin tonight. I am tired. Now, if you can whip the devil when you was a sinner, how much more can you whip him as a Christian? You did that when you was a sinner. You know, I helped people when I was a sinner. Devil don't help people. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. I paid people's bills when I was a sinner because I just felt like it. I had money I didn't know what to do with. Wasted all of it in riotous living. I did good things as a sinner, and the devil would go, dee-dee. We tried to stop him, but he'd just do it anyway. I helped the church one time, and I was a sinner. I didn't go to church much. I'll close with this. I was a Catholic boy. What I knew? In nomine Patria, Fili, Spiritu Santo. Never heard the word saved. Saved? My mama got born again. She said, Jesse, would you like to get saved? From what, mama? Would you like to be born again? Daddy said, look, I was born once. One time, Kathy made me go to church. You guys see when I had a tie-dye t-shirt on. Bell-bottom jeans with embroidery. It's the 70s, man. I had a kind of haircut. I had bangs then and long hair. Shag. Remember the shag hairstyle? Come walking in there. The preacher said, man, we hurting bad, man. We need some money. So I was waiting in the back. I said, you need some money? I got money. Hey, why don't you just tell? I took care of that church. I just blessed them. I didn't know I was blessing them. And I could see the devil go, no, 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 no. Don't give it to the preacher. Don't give it to the preacher. But I told the devil no. Now, after I got born again, no one ever questioned how much money I had when I was a sinner. Can I finish this part, then I'll shut up, Bill. I ain't have one person question how much money I had when I was a sinner. In fact, they was proud I had it. You ought to see the car that boy driving. You ought to see the diamond rings he's got and all this stuff. They were proud of me. Then I got born again. And I didn't know any better but to believe the word of God, that if you sow, you'll reap.
Okay.
So I became a millionaire. Oh, Lord. Mad as a hornet at me. We don't think you ought to have that. I said, I don't think I asked you. I said, I don't know how it happened. I sowed my seed wrong and it just happened. Am I telling you the truth? You know, you've been with me all these years. And people get mad. Tell you one thing. When I bought that first jet, I've owned 3 jets. Okay, when I bought that first jet, Jesus, just mad as a hornet. So I didn't let him fly it. I said, well, don't fly it. I'll fly over your head and wave by. Just what you're trying to do. I bought the second jet. Oh, Jesus. You would have thought I committed the unpardonable sin. This is the church screaming at me. Then I bought this intercontinental jet. Oh, Lord.
Can you believe it? This preacher.
I said, yeah, that's why I got it. I believed it. Yeah. It's for the work of the ministry. Jesse get a day off. Jesse won't go home. The other day, you know how it is. You fly a plane, you know, people get mad at you got a plane. I come off the plane, and there's a man and a woman, and she's just shaking her leg. All right, let me hurry up here. And I thought, oh, Lord, here we go again. And, you know, I wasn't feeling good that day. And I'm not talking about feeling. I didn't want to mess with nobody. There's sometimes you just don't want to mess with nobody. And all my friends are Italian. You understand? I was raised in the Italian sector of New Orleans. You understand? We do what you got to do. What happened to Fred? You do what you got to do. And then personal. It's just business. So I come walking out. She said, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I said, you're excused. Are you Jesse Duplantis? I said, no, I'm Robert Shula. How you doing? I just thought it'd be funny, you know. And I didn't want to mess with this woman, Bill. I didn't want to mess with her husband. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I apologize. Yes, I am Jesse. Is that your jet? I looked at her and went, oh, here we go again. I said, yes, ma'am. Well, we don't think preachers ought to have jets. And I could feel the flesh coming on me. I ain't gonna lie, it was feeling good. I went, I don't think I asked you. Did I ask you? I didn't worry about that stinking husband. I could whip that wimp. I knew I didn't have no problem with him. I said, that ain't none of your stinking business. Do I know you? Do I? Well, she just looking. And the Lord knew I was getting mad. He said, Jesse, vengeance is mine. No, let it be mine. You take too long. Let me do this.